Jan Musin is with us now from DeBrine Seed Company. Jan, how are things going with you?
Busy. Very busy.
Very busy over at DeBrine's, I would imagine.
Yes. It's been, you know, a late spring, but people are still out there. They want to be outside in this kind of weather.
Who could blame
something.
Them?
Yeah.
We need to, I mean, I say this, and I try to say it loud enough so the people who sell things can hear. I would love to do this show outside. It is so beautiful today. You know, I mean, I guess
it's a little windy. You might be,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do it Saturday. I don't know. It's gonna or tomorrow. Friday. Friday will be in the 70s. That'll be nice.
Perfect. But, yeah. When it gets 80s, it's a little hot to be outside doing the show. But
yeah, I could use a tent. Although I promised, and I have yet to complain about the heat this summer, because I won't. Because the first person who complains about the heat, I'll punch him in the face. Because you remember what the winter was like. You want to go back to that?
Yes, we all know what the winter was like, because we look at our bushes in the yard and they're terrible.
Yeah.
What we thought might be able to survive just kind of did a little kind of budded out and then kind of went, nope, not going to do it.
So does that mean the bushes are just dead till next year, or they're going to be dead completely?
No, I have a rhododendron bush that basically 3/4 of it died.
Wow.
Over the winter.
So you kind of have to start from scratch on
that one?
That one,
I've cut a bunch of it back already, and I have to cut another half of it back. I think that's going to be too much for it to try survive, but I'll try, see what happens. You're never supposed to take more than a third of a bush away at any one year, so.
I think your bush went a little far on the motivation of getting trimmed down for spring break.
Yeah, it did. it looks really bad. My viburnum, they started to blossom out and bud out, and it's just like that was all the energy it had in it, and it's looking really bad too right now.
So there's nothing that we can do with our bushes. They're just toast.
Basically right now, just kind of trim them back right now, cut out the damage. And I was reading on Michigan State yesterday. They
Why
said
would you
just
read
to,
there? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm
they
being
are
immature.
The experts. They are the agricultural college here.
And they are.
They said to just, you know, trim back all the dead and dying stuff. You trim back until if you scratch the bark, if you see green underneath, that's living. If it's brown, it's dead. And just cut it off until you get to that green. Unfortunately, some of my bushes, the green is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
It was all it could do just to leaf out that little bit and then just kind of went, nah, no, we're not going to do this.
I think that's your fault as a gardener.
I feel really bad for heaping all that snow onto it all winter long. But that was life.
Right.
Yeah. And then we're also getting a lot of people calling because, like, their forsythia bush or their dogwoods especially never even bloomed this spring. And I was reading yesterday also that was a fault of last winter also.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That should be okay next summer. Just make sure you fertilize the trees and keep them well watered this summer so they stay as healthy as they possibly can going into next winter. They don't need two winters in a row.
Yeah.
Of a really hard winter. So just keep those, keep them fertilized and watered.
I don't want to put people into a cardiac arrest, but we do have to think about this. And maybe we need to tap the brakes. It is June. But what if we get another winter like we had last year or this year?
We'll probably see more kill of more bushes and trees and things. So we might want to remember next fall to really protect it. And the next winter, we'll probably have no snow. It'll probably be really mild winter.
Yeah.
But we might have to kind of remember that we do live in Michigan. And we can get those winters every once in a while.
Well, I mean, a couple of winters ago, I remember I was still living in Grand Rapids. And there was no snow at all that winter.
Yeah,
it was
like
dead.
If it did snow, it melted the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're more used to those types of winters, but we can get the colder ones. So, you know, we might remember to wrap up our bushes and keep things protected and wrap up the stems of our little trees so the little rodents don't eat them and kill them over the winter.
Well, I mean, put yourself in the bushes' position. We want to be inside. They got to stay outside the whole year. So.
Yeah, so let's protect them and let's try to remember that. I'll try to remind people next fall to do that.
Sure.
I didn't do it last fall either.
Well, and look at the results.
I'm with everybody else.
We got a caller. Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
I have two questions. One, our apple tree this year seems to have no blossoms. Last year we had tons of apples. Is that because of the winter, too? Or?
Yeah, that's a cause of the winter, yep.
Okay, and I have a question on hydrangeas. I hear we should trim them back. I hear we should never trim them back. What do we do in the fall with them?
In the fall, well, it all depends on what type of hydrangea it is. Most hydrangeas that we plant here form their buds on last year's growth. So you have to be careful when you cut them back in the fall. You can cut them back just a little ways. You should see a little tiny swelling in the fall, and that's where the buds are.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
A lot of people wait until spring to cut them back, because then you can definitely see the bud.
Yeah, I came in late, and I have lots of brown in them, but I'm waiting to see which is green and which is brown.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Just scratch the bark a little bit with your fingernail. If you see green underneath there, it's okay. It's living. If you see brown, just cut it off.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
That's too bad. You know.
It's what happened last winter.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And hopefully if we keep things fertilized and watered, they should be able to survive.
You know, much like roof melt, let's not talk about this anymore unless we get a call. I'm not discouraging the calls about how to deal with the winter's harm. You can, of course, reach us at 395.
In June, we'd still be talking about that.
It's the winter that just won't die.
Yeah,
it really won't. I mean, we could have Death Valley temperatures 120 degrees every day, and we would still not be able to melt our thoughts about the winter.
Yes.
I love the way you put this on this page. Too late to garden now? ?
We've got some people that are coming in going, oh, well, it's after Memorial Day. I can't plant anything in the garden. And
summer's over.
Summer's over. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, no, summer has just – I mean, the first meteorological day of summer was Sunday. So let's we've got a whole summer ahead of us.
Wait, did I miss it? What, did summer already get here already?
Equinox is.
I gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
But
I was gonna say.
Yeah, but they actually meteorologically they say first day of June is the first day of summer.
I see.
So
it certainly feels like it.
It feels like it. So you've got plenty of time to put a lot of things in. In fact, you're maybe too late for some things, especially if we have this 80 degree temperature, like peas and lettuce and spinach, all like cooler weather. They'll like this next couple of days. So that's why I'm hoping my peas are going to suddenly get pea pods on them rather than just drop their flowers when it gets 80 degrees. You've got plenty of time to do your corn and beans and all of that stuff yet. No problem.
Good morning. What's your name?
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering when's the best time to do your pumpkin seeds?
Pumpkin seeds, actually mid to end of June to plant them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to get them ripe at Labor Day, and nobody wants a pumpkin then.
Nope, got to wait till October.
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Sure thing.
Who wants a pumpkin that early? Yeah,
I know, we're still thinking summer, and all of a sudden you've got all this fall stuff there, and no.
I'll tell you what, though, fall has always been my favorite season.
It's too short, that's what I always think.
I love pumpkin seeds. I could eat buckets of pumpkin seeds. I think it's delicious.
You should plant lots of pumpkins, and you could do your own.
I don't know if I have a pumpkin pasture-sized lawn to do that, though.
you do need quite a bit of room.
Yeah, I've got that little patio space. I don't think I could do a patio pumpkin. That probably wouldn't work.
No, that's not going to work.
It's going to grow through the pot and then hit into the pavement. That's not going to happen. Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
I have a question.
Sure.
Jan, I recently discovered the tulip bulbs I had forgotten about in my pole barn. Can I still plant them this fall?
Do they feel squishy or are they still nice and firm?
They're not squishy.
You know what? Why not? I would do it. As long as they're not all squishy, they should be fine. You obviously had the right way to store them.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks.
They're too expensive to waste.
Yeah, seriously. How long do tulip bulbs last? And I guess I should have kept Nancy on. What is the proper way to store tulip bulbs?
Cool and dry. For if people want to pull them out of the ground now and wait for fall to replant them somewhere else.
Can you freeze them?
No.
Okay, I didn't know if it was that cool.
No, unfortunately, freezer also brings humidity.
Gotcha, yeah.
And with humidity, you get kind of rots, so you don't want that.
Okay, so cool and dry.
Cool and dry.
And
yep.
if it gets humid, it gets the squishy. What you're
yeah,
talking about.
And you know those mesh bags that you get onions in the grocery store, great things to store bulbs mm-hmm. in. We have a lot of people that store their gladiola bulbs or whatever in those sorts of things because it lets air through.
Sure.
And it doesn't let that moisture get in there and rot things.
Okay. We've heard a lot about the lack of bees around nowadays and what would happen if we don't have bees in the future. How can we attract the lessening number of bees to our garden?
Always remember to plant some flowers in your garden. My dad always said it wasn't a garden without flowers. So I guess, you know, way back then he knew something.
Yeah.
So he always had like marigolds and he always had things that bloomed at different times. So there were always bees coming into the garden to pollinate. So that was always a good thing. So, you know, plant the flowers, plant marigold, verbena and salvia are like their favorites. But some of the perennials, they love mint and they mm-hmm. love daisies. And mums in the fall are great, too. And don't be spraying your plants during the midday when the bees are out because you don't want to hit the bees.
Kill the bees.
Kill them.
Yeah.
So it's best to do that early in the morning.
And you spray the leaves, right?
And spray the leaves.
Yeah.
Don't spray the flowers themselves because that's where the bees are going
sure.
to be. And they don't need to be picking up any of the poison or whatever you've put on there. So, you know, just be a little careful when you're, because we really do want to keep the bees. But there are other beneficial insects, too. There's ladybugs and other things that eat the little destructive thrips and aphids. And we like those. So, you know, don't be just, you know, throwing insecticides
sure.
out there and killing everything because it kills the beneficial ones, too.
We got about a minute left of time for one more call. Good morning. What's your name?
Pearl.
Hi, go ahead.
She's saying insecticide. Be very careful what you buy off the shelf. Read the label. Read it twice. I did that, and I spoiled my garden, and now I have to go to pots.
Yeah, just read the label and follow the directions.
My question is, I want to plant broccoli. I bought the broccoli before I read the label the second time, and so I can't plant there for a year. Can I plant them in pots, and what size?
Broccoli you can plant in a pot. That shouldn't be it doesn't require a terribly huge pot. You know, a good 8-inch pot will do a plant of broccoli.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Now, that's tragic, you know, buying the pesticides. And
yeah, I think she probably did some herbicides that she can't plant for a year, and that you do have to read the label. Read label and follow the directions explicitly. They're on there for a reason.
It's amazing how my dad's lessons continue to follow me through life. Always follow directions. Don't force things if you don't know how it works.
Yeah, you know, and if they say an ounce per gallon of water, that's really what they mean. You know, just like, you know, for a headache, you take 2 aspirin, you don't take 6.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jen.